This is Pure Decking for May the 26th, 2016. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and drinking to forget what we buried behind that Denny's parking lot 3 years ago. I'm Morps. Tonight I have... Are you? What are you drinking and what are you forgetting?
I'm currently drinking water, and what I'm trying to forget is that two jumps for friendly in-game is acceptable. Two jumps for friendly meeting new neighbors makes you look like a fucking retard.
Well done, sir. Static, what are you drinking and what are you forgetting?
I am drinking the souls of 12 monkeys. It's actually monkey shoulder, so it's the parts of 12 monkeys. It's a new scotch I picked up, and what I'm forgetting, I don't know yet. We'll see after I get done drinking it.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I am drinking dragon's milk. BSV, what have you forgotten, and what are you drinking?
I'm just drinking carbonated sugar water, and I think I forgot the code to the cells downstairs.
Nice. Are you posted a link? You threw me off my game. Look at the notes, not the chat.
The only reason I post that is because I didn't want to forget it, and that is the greatest Asian commercial I've ever seen. Thank you for not being social justice warriors, Asia.
Wait, is this the...
Hey, okay. Dave, we're doing a show here, guys. Come on.
We're doing a show here, yeah.
Essentially, right, the commercial is a Chinese woman putting a black man who's trying to seduce her into a washing machine, and then he comes out an Asian guy that she falls in love with, and it's advertising the best cleaning product around.
Wow,
I like it.
You sort of
I
see
like
why
it
I
a lot.
To post that.
Suave, what are you drinking, and what have you forgotten?
I am drinking just some Jim Beam today, and I am drinking to forget that commercial.
Alright. So, first thing I thought would be fun to talk about here. the commercial's great. Alright. So, Torrent Freak has this interesting article here from, I think that's Monday. Oh, no, that was actually Saturday. I know how calendars work. Yay! So from Torrent Freak, ISP runs huge pirate site for its customers.
Well done.
So choosing an internet service provider is something millions of individuals do every year. Pricing, speed, reliability, blah, 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 blah. Choosing a broadband provider that not only offered decent service for a fair price, but also ran its own pirate site for customers. Most are run by groups. Most pirate sites are run by groups that choose to remain anonymous. Identities are prized. There are exceptions. The people behind the Pirate Bay are well-known public figures, except the people behind the Pirate Bay are not the ones currently running the Pirate Bay. I think Torrent Freak of all people would know that. So established in 2005, Connect Communications is one of the largest internet service providers in Karachi, Pakistan, and they are proud of it. Connect Communications offers state-of-the-art broadband connection to your home on Ethernet with trunk network on optical fiber. Now you can take full advantage of gigabit network for various network utilities, the company says. Our residential broadband access gives you the ultimate high-speed experience with downloads of up to 100 megabit, download full-length movie in under 10 minutes, and take advantage of our Do Deer service, such as playing online games at Connect's Game Arena or downloading movies and music. Many ISPs also offer downloads, but Connect's Do Deer service really goes the extra mile. It's advertised on the company's main page, and it's basically a big-ass FTP site. You know, they got all kinds of pirated movies and shit all over their file downloads.
So, what enrages me about this is these guys have internet speeds way faster than me.
Yeah, me too.
So here's the thing.
And I know how to poo in a loo.
Wow.
So, is it wrong if you're in a country that does not give a fuck about, you know, copyright of other countries like Pakistan? I mean, you're not going to enforce it very well over there. You're going to pretty much have to get somebody to invade them to get that law enforced. To run something like that is a say what?
Dude, considering they're like friends of ISIS, really, is Disney going to be able to enforce their copyright laws on them?
Well, it is Disney. Disney might be willing to hire mercenaries, but yeah.
I actually could see issues arising from this eventually if it gets too out of hand, especially if you start seeing other countries doing it.
Well, no,
there's
going
to be a
lot
of pressure on the governments of the various nations to, you know, embargoes or whatever, something stupid.
So anyways, but the point is that in Pakistan, it's difficult for us to enforce these laws. So if you're running an ISP, is this not competitive advantage? They actively block torrent downloads if you're not coming from their service.
Oh, that's negative to me.
Yeah, torrents are blocked for non-connect communications customers.
It's a different business model.
Yeah.
I mean, that's competitive advantage, isn't it? Oh, or is it just the old AOL model?
I don't know. That seems pretty anti-competitive if they're blocking other torrents.
No. Their site. If you go to the Do Deer site, and you're not coming from their ISP,
I see. Gotcha.
You cannot download torrents. Yeah, they're not blocking. Like, you can still go to Pirate Bay. I mean, they're not blocking that, according to this article.
Cool. No, I'm okay with that.
Well, I suppose if you're paying money and they're offering extra stuff and somebody else comes along who's not paying money and they shouldn't be able to access it, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, ISPs used to do that. AOL and CompuServe used to be separate platforms. They weren't really, you know, it wasn't just an internet connection. You also got their news feeds, their sites, their chat rooms, and all that stuff. I suppose it's not outlandish for ISPs to still do that kind of crap, just as web pages. In this case, it just happens to be a really good piracy site.
I mean, yeah, well, it's like paying for a news group, isn't it?
I guess it would be, wouldn't it? Well, I mean, it's just coming, it's part of their service. It's part of the ISP service.
Yeah, and like with my ISP, part of the service is internet television sort of thing, which is a bag of dicks, but it's value added, you know?
Yeah, that's value add. But I mean, of course, they have much better connections than we do, and then they're hosting their file server site right out of their own data center. So, you know, if you're torrenting from their site, I'll bet it's a fantastically fast to download crap.
Mm.
So that kind of sucks that their ISPs are so much better than ours, flat out hosting the piracy sites for them. I mean,
well, you know, part of that has to do with Morse is that they didn't lay cable back in 1940. They laid cable in 2000.
That's a very valid point.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and there is a big argument in my country right now. Do we need to upgrade or do we just stay on the copper network? And the argument here is falling way to the idiot side in my thinking, because everyone's like, well, it's only so you can pirate movies is why we're upgrading, and we don't support piracy, so we don't think we need a faster internet connection. You know, 24K dial-up's fine out here for me with my AOL service. Well, whatever.
What's happened with all these first world countries? Like, you know, they had all the money. They built all the infrastructure. That you've got all these big companies in all of these countries that have, like, most of the market share. And they already have all this infrastructure. So, and they're making the same amount of money as they'd make if they went and upgraded everything and gave you 10 times the speed. Like, people are already paying as much as they want to pay for their internet. So there's no benefit to the companies. And now because they're in positions of power, they can, you know, lobby the government and prevent any sort of upgrades.
Because, I mean, that would be the big selling point of competition, wouldn't it? Come in and it's like, oh, here, we've built that new infrastructure, and we'll sell you gigabit service, you know, for $30 a month. You know, they win. So, yeah. Of course, the other ISPs are going to the government and saying, "Hey, no, 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 don't let them do that."
Who's eating their microphone?
Sorry.
Well, was it so any
delicious.
Good?
He has to eat it before the Canadian fire consumes it.
I made my microphone cover out of cotton candy.
Nom nom.
That would be tasty.
You know how you get ants.
Oh, I already got ants.
So, I don't know. BSV, what do you think about this?
They're just providing it as an extra service, and I don't know, as long as then again not affect anybody else's stuff.
They're taking the food out of Hollywood's mouth. Not that they need
any
more
food. And the people pirating it from them won't pirate it from someplace else.
Well, just because I murder my neighbors.
So,
I think we've done the whole piracy is wrong argument on this enough.
But piracy, I don't think piracy is... Okay, so here, honest truth. The reason I say stay away from piracy has nothing to do with copyright enforcement, because I could really care.
No, it's about viruses.
Exactly, viruses and malware, and this is probably cleaner than Pirate Bay.
Probably. Yeah. It's a business.
True. So
I'm sure they're probably checking stuff. Probably.
No. Well, maybe not.
Not if the customers start complaining, but...
Yeah.
Well, you
actually
know,
having a legitimate person to complain to about your piracy tends to cause it to clean up.
Yeah, so I was on your piracy site, and I downloaded here this thing here. It said Windows Millennial Ultimate HQ YOLO Edition.
Think of how much money that they're going to save now, because it's only the people from India now will be ringing. Hello, sir. This is Jadmeel from Microsoft. You appear to have the Windows virus on your computers.
What? No, I downloaded Windows YOLO Ultimate. Damn it. I just screwed up. I lost the voice. It's gone.
I downloaded Windows
YOLO
420?
Edition. From Deirdo, they said it was clean.
Yeah, right, I'll pay for that.
Wait, next time I get one of those Microsoft calls. YOLO Xbox 420 edition.
Yeah, that's a
I
great
should go
version
check Pirate
of Windows.
Bay. That's probably one of those respins.
I will give you $50 to download it to your main rig, not in a virtual box.
Downloaded, sure. Install, maybe not so much.
I get another 20 to install.
I don't have the article, but Pirate Bay actually went back to piratebay.org.
Really? While you're installing, I want you to do the helicopter with your dick and yell YOLO 420 at the top of your voice. I get good value money.
No, not finding anything for Windows YOLO 420. So, there is a Windows 420 on YouTube, though. I'm disappointed. Static, I got an idea for a project this weekend. You want to help me put together a pirate version?
This could be fun.
Like, well, why does it have a Mountain Dew logo as the default wallpaper? Because they wouldn't
the
pay
Mountain
Dew
is replaced with Hitler did nothing wrong.
I'm curious why you all say, well, what's your all speed? I mean, I was looking at it said, 100 down? Right?
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ours is not far off from that, right?
60.
Oh, if you get fiber.
Oh, mine does 100 down.
Yeah, but what's your up?
Oh, my up sucks. It's like 20, maybe?
I think mine's half that, so...
Mine's 0.5 up.
Good God, how are you even able to connect to TeamSpeak?
It's terrible.
So... Alright,
yeah,
first story up. here. This is from, I don't have the right sound clip loaded. I'm going to build a new sound clip rig at some point. But for now, I'm just going to stall as I dig through the file system. Yes.
So I just did
this
speed
is the
test
sound
here,
of Stalin.
And I get 5 megabits up, 0.5 megabits per second down.
Smart
is that like
5 megabits?
Is that all you can
download
get though, or is that just what you've chosen to buy?
That was all you could get up until a couple months ago. Now there's like a $100 plan where you get I think it's 20 megabits per second. It might be 25.
Damn. For $100 a month.
Yeah.
So. You want to be pretty addicted to porn for that.
Yeah. Well, I could.
Yeah.
So the first article I have from is from motherboard.vice.com.
Vice News is no different than any of the other mainstream TV Zionist-owned media.
I don't think that's the right one. It doesn't matter. It's close enough.
It'll do.
Close enough.
So, according to the FBI, it's not malware when they have a warrant.
Wait, what?
It's the headline. The FBI has been in the hacking business for a long time, famously using malware to log suspects' keystrokes in as early as the 1990s. But in the high-profile case surrounding a dark web child abuse site called Playpen, God.
Oh,
gross.
What? It's a porn site called Play. Just shoot them. Anyways, the Bureau is arguing that because it was authorized by a warrant, the computer intrusion code shouldn't be called malware at all. They're literally bitching about the name.
Wow.
Well, names matter in court.
Well, that's true. In a testimony earlier this week in the case of U.S. versus Jay Mitchend, FBI Special Agent Daniel Alfin argued that the hacking tool used to identify Mutchend and thousands of other Playpen users, which the FBI, they call it a network investigative technique, isn't malware because it was authorized by a court and did not damage the security of Mutchend's computer. The NIT utilized in this investigation was a court authorized and made no changes to security settings of the target computer to which it was deployed. As such, I do not believe it is appropriate to describe the operation as malicious, Alfin said. It's malicious to the owner of the PC, isn't it? Just because
gives
you had
fuck, they're looking at kiddie porn.
Well, that's true.
Yep.
They
have no rights.
I don't care, man. Yeah, once you fucking start doing that freaky shit, you have no fucking rights. Because you're violating the rights of the child, therefore you have no fucking rights.
He added that he personally loaded the NIT onto one of his own machines, and that it did not make any changes to the security settings of my computer or otherwise render it more vulnerable to intrusion than it already was. Malware is short for malicious software and has already been somewhat hard to define. Well, that's true. The government's interpretation defies its commonly understood meaning in computer security, which describe codes that surreptitiously installs and runs on a device without the owner's consent. The FBI's NIT would certainly fit the description, but it was quietly installed on the machine of anyone accessing the Playpen website, which was only available using the anonymous Tor browser. Once implanted, the NIT returned the true IP address of the site's visitors. To send the NIT, the FBI seized control of the Playpen site, effectively facilitating the distribution of child abuse images for 2 weeks. Yeah, that's kind of shitty, too.
I mean, how do you sit in a conference room, right, we've taken control of this website, we're going to keep it up for 2 weeks, and, yeah, that's, fuck no.
Well,
just shut it down.
So, it may just be semantics, but the terminology could be crucial as momentum builds in the courts and Congress to limit the FBI's hacking power. Earlier this week, Senator Ron Wyden announced the Stop Mass Hacking Act that would prevent the FBI from using a single warrant to install malware on thousands of computers whose locations are unknown, like it did in the Playpen case. One more paragraph. Judge Robert J. Brian recently reversed his previous position on the FBI's use of the NIT, ruling the government doesn't have to reveal the full exploit code while simultaneously saying the government should face sanctions for its refusal to produce evidence. In response, the government argued on Friday that it should receive no sanctions at all for refusing to disclose the exploit, claiming that the defendant already has enough information about the NIT to build a defense. So, you know, here's the thing. I don't know why they're so reluctant to release what their exploit code was, because we've talked about this before. Tor browser bundles are usually out of date. If you're not running something like a Tails or a Hunix or doing Tor properly, you're going to get caught.
Well, don't tell
them.
Well, cause...
you know, like at this point, like you pretty much just have to assume that Tor is compromised. Like, you know.
Any machine that you touch Tor with is compromised. That is the assumption. And I believe it's a correct one. Because it's more Wild West than the internet was when it first started, right? Because everybody on there's trying to be shady. So, yeah, if you go hitting, I don't mean using the Tor system to browse regular websites, like trying to get around censorship stuff. I mean if you're hitting .onion domains.
If you're still using Tor to buy drugs, you're doing it wrong. There are far fucking better programs out there used on smartphones now to find a drug dealer.
Uber.
He's probably not wrong.
Okay, yeah. Besides Uber, and because everyone knows Uber drivers are drug dealers, there are much better sites out there for smartphones that are anonymous that you can use, and most drug dealers are advertising in your local newspaper.
That's hilarious.
Well, I found that in my area anyway, and I'm too stupid to use a smartphone, otherwise I'd have a drug dealer. But I've looked at multiple different ways. You don't need to use Tor anymore. The only reason you're using Tor is you're an outdated fucking child diddler. That's it.
So, and I could talk about how to actually use Tor properly, just because.
Don't.
Okay.
No, I mean, fuck it, man. The only people who can't use it properly are the ones who are fucking
kids. They don't know how it works.
Exactly, and they're kiddie diddlers. I don't want to give them any fucking tools or benefits or anything like that through this show.
It's still useful for bypassing censorship.
True, but if you're not... Okay, again, and if you're
hitting... Like, right tool for the right job.
If you're using Tor to go to regular websites... just to get around a geo block or censorship in your country, or just to harass other people because you keep getting your IP address banned, whatever, you're probably fine because you're just going to regular websites. You just happen to be routed through the Tor network. It's when you start going to the hidden sites, the .onion domains, because those things, you don't know. You don't know what you're connecting to. And... you know, you have to assume that anything that touches a .onion domain is probably no longer clean. So if you don't know how to set up your machine from that assumption, well, that's longer than I could cover in an hour podcast anyways. So, moving on. This is from Ars Technica, but it's also all over the place, and it's going to be really big news in the next couple of days. Google and Oracle have just finished their lawsuit. From San Francisco, following a two-week trial, a federal jury concluded Thursday that Google's Android operating system does not infringe Oracle-owned copyrights because it re-implements 37 Java APIs, and it is protected by fair use. The verdict was reached after 3 days of deliberation. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, listen to your verdict as it will stand recorded, said the court clerk, before polling each of the 10 men and women on the jury. There was only one question on the special verdict form. It asked if Google's use of the Java API was a fair use under copyright law. The jury unanimously answered yes in Google's favor. The verdict ends the trial, which began earlier this month. If Oracle had won, the same jury would have gone on to a damages phase to determine how much Google should pay. Because Google has won, the trial is now over. Kind of makes me wonder how many of them side with Google just so they could go home and not have to listen to all these nerds talk about Android and Java.
Yes.
So.
I'm with you on that.
Having been on jury duty a couple of times, I can tell you that by the end of the thing, you just want to get the fuck out of there. But, anyways, I'm actually happy to hear this. Not out of any love for Google, but I really don't like Oracle.
You need to take that sound clip of you just saying, at the end of every trial, most people just want to get the fuck out of there. And then when they're polling you next time on a jury, just go, look, I'd like to play this. I made this as a public statement. I'm a known internet personality,
and
you still
I've
want
made
me on
some
this
very
trial?
Anti-government statements.
You'll never pick for jury again, dude.
Just reveal my real name on the show. That way, they quit calling me. It's like we thought
Sam
he was such a
Walton.
Respectable. Damn it, Static.
Look, Billy.
Okay, Bubba.
Careful.
All right, Tina, sit down now.
What?
I was talking to BSV, Tina.
I'm confused.
I salute you for your extreme hard work in this case, said U.S. District Judge William Alsup, who has overseen the litigation since 2010. With the thanks of your United States... I bet that guy's glad to be done with this. United States District Court, you are now discharged. Say what?
They sat on a jury for 6 years?
What? No. No, this district judge has been following the litigation since 2012.
Oh, okay.
The jury's been going for like a couple of weeks.
It says in here that they were going to ask for $9 billion in damages if Oracle won?
Yep.
How?
Well, they wanted a cut of Android sales, basically. Every Android phone. So, where was I in the article? We are grateful for the jury's verdict, said Google lawyer Google lead lawyer Robert Van Nest. Is that his name? Robert Van Nest. Huh. Before getting into the elevator with Google's in-house lawyers. That's it. Oracle's attorney had no comment. Well, of course not. Because they're probably going to appeal. Google said in a statement that its victory was good for everybody. Today's verdict that Android made fair use of the Java APIs represented a win for the Android ecosystem and for the Java programming community and for software developers who rely on open and free programming languages to build innovative consumer products, a Google spokesperson said via email. However, Oracle vowed to appeal. We strongly believe that Google developed Android by illegally copying core Java technology to rush into the mobile device market. Never mind the fact that when Sun first wrote Java, it was designed to be cut. Anyways, Oracle brought this lawsuit. Yeah, Oracle just buy shit. They don't know what they have. Oracle brought this lawsuit to put a stop to Google's illegal behavior. We believe there are numerous grounds for appeal, and we plan to bring the case back to the Federal Circuit on appeal. Dorian Daly, Oracle's general counsel, said in a statement. Google's win somewhat softens the blow to software developers who previously thought programming language APIs were free to use. It's still the case that APIs can be protected by copyright under the law of at least one appeals court. However, the first high-profile attempt to control APIs with copyright law has been stymied by a fair use defense. It isn't clear how much Oracle would have asked for if the damaged phases, but it could have been as much as $9 billion. That's how much Oracle asked for in an early expert report. Over the course of the two-week trial, blah, 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 they copied 11,500 lines of code. Oracle attorney Peter Brick said during closing arguments, it's undisputed. They took the code, they copied it, and they put it right into Android. Google countered that the Java language has always been free and open to use, and that included re-implementing Java APIs. Sun and its CEO, Jonathan Schwartz, accepted Android as legitimate, if inconvenient, competitive product. So Larry Ellison first welcomed Android at first, but later changed his mind after he tried to use Java to build his own smartphone and failed to do it. Google attorney, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So, a couple of things. One, if you're going to start counting lines of code claiming they're copied, especially when you're dealing with APIs, if you're writing code, there may literally only be one line of code that does the function you need. There may not be other ways to write it unless you're just artificially inflating it or just, you know, changing variable names or something else that's actually meaningless to the execution of the code. Static, have you done any coding work? I don't think RU has.
It's been a long time since I've done any. It's probably been 5-10 years since I've done any.
Done a little bit.
So sometimes there really is only one line of code for a particular language that does what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're talking to an API, because it's a pre-designed set of ways to call a system.
Yeah.
So, but this is fantastic if this stands for another reason. There are open source implementations of Java. There's the OpenJDK that a lot of Linux systems use. But there's another language, and nobody's talking about this, that if this precedent stands, Mono is protected. Mono is the open implementation of C# and .NET. So all of the Mono-developed crap on Linux is now protected from being sued out of existence by Microsoft. In fact, I remember when a lot of that stuff first started coming out, a lot of people were afraid to use Mono or any languages related to Microsoft products for open source because they were afraid that Microsoft could claim copyright and shut them down for using the language. If this is the case, if the Oracle Oracle-Google thing stands, the precedent says no. They can't shut you down for re-implementing an open source based on API documentation.
Cool.
I don't guess anybody else really follows this crap, but
I'm saying, like, code's essentially math, right? Depending on which
code is logic. Thank you, BSV. That is an excellent way to put that.
Yeah. And I have none, so I'm staying out of this debate. Because yes, I'm really good at writing code that says error with a lot of numbers in the front.
Does it say guru meditation?
I just can't write code for shit because I'm dyslexic as fuck.
Oh, I was going to make an Amiga joke, but that's okay. That's okay. Let's move on to a subject that RU does know about. People in Australia getting arrested.
Yay!
This article is from 3Ders.org. So anybody playing the 3D printing drinking game, Australia, with the debate of 3D printing guns is largely theoretical, or is largely a theoretical one in most parts of the world, it seems to be a real issue in Australia lately. Last year, several 3D printed gun components were already discovered in the possession of several people with ties to Australian criminal circuit. And now another bikey? B-I-K-I-E?
Biker, as in 1% outlaw motorcycle gang.
Okay. Bikey, that's weird. Been arrested after a 3D printer and firearm equipment was found in his home. Jane Middleton of Seabrook in the state of Victoria is a senior member of the Mongol bike gang, and drugs were also found in his home during the arrest. This new case certainly suggests that criminals have embraced the untraceable nature of 3D printed guns.
Bullshit!
Yeah, the one shot you get off of them.
I haven't heard of a single one being used in a crime yet.
They've had a declaration of war against 1%ers in this country for the last 4.5 years since one of the bike gangs decided to challenge the cops, and the cops suddenly realized that they're not equipped. They can't stop them if they decide to take over.
Awesome.
It's a numbers game. There's not enough cops compared to 1%ers. So right. Technically they're probably 5% now. And they've just enacted the most draconian laws. I think we spoke about it before. The whole you cannot associate with another member of a motorcycle gang. So we saw 2 years ago a whole family arrested for having a drink together on Christmas just because they were members of a motorcycle gang.
Oh, wow.
If there's more than one bike, like two bikes riding on the road, both riders can be arrested for association. It's just absolutely draconian and ridiculous.
That's nuts.
And this reporting of there's drugs in the house, like there's probably a bit of weed. Guns, the gun, I know what he had, but I'm not going to comment too much on that. And they're just looking, they built a supermax prison to house these people. This has been coming for a while. They're shit scared they're going to take over. And the bike gangs have just got so big. And the best part about it, we had zero to fuck all gun crime when they were running the show. The minute we start taking the bikers out of organized crime and stuff like that, we have a shooting probably three times a week, four times a week now, as different crime gangs are trying to take over the vacuum.
That's nuts.
It's ridiculous, man. I lived in a street previous that had bikers living in that street. The most peaceful street with zero crime.
Hey, RU, I have a question for you. Just off the cuff logic here. Guns are mostly banned in Australia, correct?
Yeah, you can get 22s and stuff like that, but it's a pretty hefty licensing experience.
So, see, the thing is, with a 3D printed gun, you still need ammo. So, if guns are banned and ammo is extremely difficult to get, 3D printing a gun doesn't do jack if you don't have a bullet to put in it.
If you're technically proficient enough to print a 3D gun, you can make your own gunpowder.
Oh, yeah, but making gunpowder and making a workable bullet is totally different things. You could maybe make a cannon or something like that.
You can make bullets, but
our government is fantastic at spreading the idea that there are no guns in this country.
Well, that's a lie.
It's a complete fucking lie, because there's 3 shootings a week.
There's guns in every country. I don't care if you banned them or not.
I remember when they banned them back in the 90s. Every person, because I was working on the building industry at that time, which had a lot of bikers and criminal members and stuff like that, because building industry, you can go in and out of prison and not lose your job. Every one of them buried their guns.
Well, of course, you didn't want to lose them.
Yeah, there are hundreds and thousands of firearms that are unaccounted for in this country, and
besides just the utility of having them, some are heirlooms, they're worth money, and they were just going to take them and crush them.
Yeah, well, they did, and I don't know many people. I suppose I'm a bit of a rarity. I do deal in a bit of the black market of shady books and shit like that, but if you're anywhere near the black market, you can get a gun in 24 hours with ammunition. But the problem is, you're going to pay more for the ammunition than you are going to pay for the gun.
But you could argue that's how it should be, actually. A gun's just a fancy club without bullets. It's the bullet that does the killing.
To what I know within the firearms market, and I've never actually... I don't like guns, so I have no need for one. I prefer the nice blade across someone's throat as a more effective method. And it's cheaper.
Quieter.
From what I understand, that... You're right. Ammunition is the expensive part in this country. The gun is not. They're everywhere, if you know how to get them. And you just got to know someone who knows someone.
So I'm going to quit reading the rest of the article here, because they talk about the 14 years in jail for having the model to print a gun, and how Victoria is just going nuts with basically trying to ban 3D printers. And
that's the heart of the article right there. They want to ban 3D printers.
Well, the thing is, it's pretty scummy the way they, I skimmed the article earlier, because they have a picture on the page of a 3D printed Liberator, the original little single shot pistol that people were talking about 3D printing. And it's not until you get looking at the printer, reading the article and looking at pictures, you figure out, and read the article a little bit, you figure out that picture of the Liberator had nothing to do with the arrest. They just put it in there.
No, it's the stock photo of the Liberator.
Yeah, it's one they presented months ago. So,
Man, when you're living in a country where you have a different prime minister any day of the week, depending on the whims of the government at the time and who they want to shaft, do you think liberty and justice is at the top of their priority right now? No, it's bullshit, man. It's complete lies, fantasy, and... whatever they want to tell us to dull us into a stupor.
Well, I can tell you, on my own 3D printer, I have dabbled with 3D printing weapons. I've made a couple of... I've printed some knives. They last about once. In all seriousness, I did 3D print a couple of knife blades to just play with. Yeah, once. They last once.
I think a lot of it, Morps, is the fantasy that these people have in their heads, that you just walk up to your computer, you press a button, bam, the weapon's there. It doesn't take, they think it doesn't take hours to do. They think it's an instant thing.
I've seriously looked at 3D printing a Liberator because I thought it'd be fun to make one and just not put a firing pin in it, to have it as a model. And, yeah, on my printer, I was looking at almost 3 days of continuous runtime to print all the parts.
Yeah.
And I hope no jams, right?
Yeah, and just hope. Yeah, my printer's on the fritz right now. I can't print with it because the hot end's fucked up again.
I mean, I think that's the fantasy that these lawmakers have in their head, that you walk up, push a button, and it's instant. You know? No clue.
I tell you what, when I get mine fixed, I'm probably going to... Which, by fixed, I may just end up buying a new fucking hot end for, because it's really acting up. But got to put a new heat break in it and see if that clears stuff, because I think the problem's the PTFE liner and the heat break, but I doubt anybody else actually cares about that.
So back to the story, I think the guy's problem is he should have printed himself a new face.
Actually, I saw somebody made Reaper's mask and put it up on Thingiverse, and I was thinking that would be badass to print just the front of it. Maybe, you know, not put the eyes in it, put some sunglasses on, so you have the lower part anyways for a bike mask.
Oh, nice.
I was thinking that'd be awesome. But anyways, so.
You go right ahead there, Analog, and make fun of the Mongols. He has a very pretty face. I think he's a lovely man.
Doesn't scare me at all. Just saying.
I think he's a perfect, lovely man.
Well, with the exception of the tattoo all over his face, he looks like a decent guy.
Hey, just because you're covered in tattoos doesn't mean you're a bad guy.
I'm just going purely on appearance.
Yeah, Morps has got no tattoos, and he's a cunt.
Well, we all know that. So,
first impressions are everything.
Duh.
You know?
What'd you say, Static?
I said, first impressions are everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the fuck, you still all talking to me then? I gotta get water in for a smoke.
Alright, so next story up is from Ars Technica. Patent troll, VertNetX. Fresh on the heels of a $626 million FaceTime and iMessage patent victory over Apple, now wants a federal judge to permanently turn off those popular features. VertNetX, VirNetX. Anybody else have any ideas on how to say that? VertNetX?
No.
VertNetX?
VirNetX. VirNetX.
Okay, maybe. We're going to go with VirNetX. On Wednesday, also asked the judge presiding over the litigation to increase the damages the East Texas jury awarded in February by another $190 million or more. Apple wants a retrial, claiming that VirNetX's lawyers misrepresented evidence to the jury and that the evidence presented at trial didn't support infringement. The gadget maker also said that they should not have to pay royalties according to Law 360, which attended Wednesday's hearing. Okay, the gadget maker according to Law 360, which you can't follow that link because you have to have a subscription to even look at it. Apple argued that VirNetX is improperly trying to secure an overly broad injunction so that it can be used to extract a massive licensing fee, Law 360 reported. Apple's documents connected to the issue are lodged under seal. However, VirNetX post-trial demands are in the public record. The dispute stems from a jury ruling in February that favored VirNetX in respect to the four patents at issue. Apple products include the VPN on demand, FaceTime, the iMessage platform, and the iMessage platform. VirNetX, according to the court filing, wants those services blocked because of lost sales and reputational harm caused by Apple's distribution of the infringing features. VirNetX's patents originated at a company called Science Applications International Corporation. VirNetX has been saying for years that it plans to market various products, but for the time being, its income comes from licensing patents. It has about a dozen employees and leases a small office in Zephyr Cove, Nevada, for roughly $5,000 a month, according to a recent yearly financial statement. U.S. District Judge Robert Schrodinger III did not rule on the post-trial dispute Wednesday, but said he would get orders out as quickly as possible, according to the minutes of the hearing. So are they actually going to shut down FaceTime over a patent dispute?
No way.
I figure at some point Apple's going to just pay up and make them go away.
I mean, yeah, it's so integrated, not just in the personal, but even in business. How many businesses, you know, use FaceTime today.
Well, you know, they've been ordered to pay them over $500 million already. Like,
I'm just wondering, how the hell did Virnet X get patents on things like the Dick Tracy video watch, because that's what FaceTime is, and text messaging, which has been around since the teletype.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain
like,
there's prior
it's
art
gotta
on
be
all of these
some
patents.
Sort of, like, I don't know, random piece of code or something that they're using.
I don't
like,
know, man.
It
seems like Apple should have gone for invalidating the patents, I mean, rather than
say
they don't infringe.
These stupid patent trolls, man.
So.
Illegal.
Well, there is an argument about not... I think the idea of selling patents is the real problem here. You know, I think that's the real problem, where somebody comes up with a patent and then a patent troll company buys it and then manages it. I don't know. Because I hate to tell somebody who's made a patent that they can't use it, because that's kind of the point. But I guess if you patent something that's already out on the market and somehow make it through the patent office, that's another problem. So I don't know what the answer is, because I don't want to see patents go away. I like inventors getting paid, but I don't like seeing companies abused by them. Although it's Apple, it's not like they can't just afford to pay them off. So,
depends on what the person's asking for, you know.
Do that. So, were you going to say something, BSV?
No.
Oh, sorry. I saw you light up for a second. So, I don't know. Anybody else have anything on that? We move on to the Windows article here. All right, next article is from theregister.co.uk. Microsoft will not back down from the Windows 10 Nagware trick. Microsoft is hurt and disappointed that people think it was trying to trick them with a confusing Windows 10 upgrade dialog that scheduled an upgrade without users explicitly agreeing to do so. Redmond recently created a new Windows 10 Nagware reminder that presented a dialog asking you to install the OS. But if users clicked the red X to close the dialog, standard behavior for dispelling a dialog without agreeing to do anything, Microsoft took that as permission for the upgrade. In other words, they did that shit on purpose. Redmond...
No means yes.
Yeah, basically. Redmond, via its Flax, has emailed the Register, and we presume World Plus Dog, to say that the UI has worked like that for ages. The UI of your upgrade is scheduled notification is nothing new. Including the ability to just X out of the notification with no further action needed to schedule your upgrade. But it's been part of the notification UI for months. Yeah, we just didn't turn it on. Oh yeah, that code's been there for years. Just because you'd never seen it.
Wow.
Your Honor, I'd just like to say I'm hurt and deeply upset that she thinks that my intention to rape was there when she said no. But, you know, I'm the victim here.
Well, hasn't it always been yes means yes and no means yes? I thought that's how it always was.
Only with regards to credit cards. In this Knowledge Base article, Microsoft notes that based on customer feedback in the most version of the Get Windows 10 app, we confirm the time of your scheduled upgrade and provide you with an additional opportunity for canceling or rescheduling the upgrade. So, yeah, you'll notice Microsoft didn't say it would rewrite the app, so closing the app is taken as a no. It just happens for about every other dialogue for Windows offers. So, basically, or is Redmond saying users don't like UI sleight of hand or at fault for delving into its knowledge base every time they find a dialogue confusing? So, basically, Microsoft is saying, no, we scheduled the upgrade, and if you close it out, you're not canceling it. This is the same shit the pop-up antiviruses used to do to get you to install their crap.
And they're pissed that people are complaining about it.
Yeah.
Shame on Microsoft.
They're the true victims here. Fuck off.
I mean, that kind of burns me up, really, honestly, when they're pissed because people are complaining about some BS thing that they're doing.
Well, hell are you? You got bit by that, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've had both my mom, my grandparents call me up and say, so my computer looks funny, and I don't know what I did. You didn't do anything. Windows 10 installed itself. But how did you do that?
What happened? I got up to get a beer. I came back, and there's the big fucking Windows 10 circle going, installing for your pleasure.
My favorite lasted
all of 30 seconds.
There's a fantastic animated GIF floating around. Actually, it might be a video. But it's I've seen the GIF version, where there's a guy live streaming his CSGO games, and he's sitting there in the middle of a game, and it just stops and starts installing Windows 10 on his live stream before it cuts off.
Wow.
And, I mean, he's just sitting there shocked. He's like, what the hell? And then, you know, that's where the video cuts. But, I mean, it's just like, holy shit. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you're sitting there on, like, a Windows 3.1 box if it pops up a Get Windows 10 dialogue.
You know, I look at it this way. If your software is that good, you know, and you're that supportive of it, why do you have to push it that hard?
Because they want to say Windows 10 is the most downloaded and most installed version of Windows. It's a marketing ploy. It's
No, so I mean, I agree. You're right. Absolutely correct. But if it's that good, the product should speak for itself, and people should want to install it.
But you know what the problem is? It's not bad. Windows 10 is fine.
It's really not.
Take care of the telemetry shit.
Hell, I've been on Windows 10 since almost, you know.
Oh, did you find the video?
I don't know. It's been a while.
I think this is the one.
Yeah, this is it. This is the guy. We'll put the link in the show notes. Yeah. So. Yeah,
wow, he was live streaming for 9 straight hours.
So
that's too much live streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, these people go on 24-hour live streams.
Also too much.
So when did the install actually start? It's about 30 seconds in.
Yeah, do it 40-second mark.
He just looks at the camera. I got a link, read the full story here, so we'll look at that here in a minute, too. But, yeah, I mean, he's just sitting there gaming, and Windows 10 just starts installing.
And I think this here is he was stupid and didn't schedule it appropriately.
Yeah, he clicked no on the dialog box. Wow,
I think one of his statements in this video is, I don't trust anyone anymore. Yeah, Windows, that's what you've done. Trust with your customers is zero now.
Well, that's the problem, is because they've pushed it so hard that it's actually not that bad, but because they've pushed it so hard, everybody's afraid of it. They don't want it. So, I don't know. I just...
Yeah, they're the victims here.
I mean, it's just like it's going to drop out of trees and install itself on your smartphone when you're not looking. I mean,
so Windows has become an Australian animal.
Dude, you're going to get home and your parents are going to be sitting there just talking with you, and occasionally they'll just blurt out, "Install Windows 10." What? It's like, you know, your family's been hacked trying to get you to install it on shit. I mean.
So when you're on your first date, son, install Windows 10. Treat her like. We're having spaghetti for dinner, Kevin, and Windows 10.
Why is the spaghetti in the shape of a Windows logo?
Install now.
You know, you're going to see some. You're going to start seeing Microsoft employees like breaking into people's bathrooms and writing Windows 10 on their mirrors while they're taking a shower.
Hi, have you heard the good word about Jesus and Windows 10? I'm here from the Church of Latter-day Saints. Windows 10.
You know, there's an easy way to avoid this. You know what it is? Just go ahead and install Windows 10 and be done with it.
As we lay Bob into the ground for his 101 years of life, install Windows 10. We ask you today to think about Bob's life and Windows 10. I could go on all day, but I'm not going to.
All right. So, speaking of things that are going to get Windows 10 installed on them, Foxconn has replaced 60,000 factory workers with robots. But did they program the robots to not jump off the roof? That's the question.
They installed Windows 10.
So, one factory has reduced employee strength from 110,000 to 50,000 thanks to the introduction of robots. I love this. Just thanks to the introduction of robots, a government official told South China Morning Post. Zhu Jilan, head of publicity for the Kushan region, added, more companies are likely to follow suit. China is heavily invested in a robot workforce. Why? They have enough regular people. They don't need cyborgs.
But they can't install Windows 10.
In a statement to the BBC, Foxconn Technology Group confirmed that it was automating many of the manufacturing tasks associated with our operations, but that it denied that it meant long-term job losses. We are applying robotic engineering and other innovative manufacturing technologies to replace repetitive tasks previously done by employees, and through training, also enable our employees to focus on higher value-added elements in the manufacturing process, such as research and development, process control, and quality control. We will continue to harness automation and manpower in our manufacturing operations, blah, 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 blah. So it's basically cheaper to buy a $35,000 robotic arm than it is to hire an employee who's inefficient, making $15 an hour, bagging French fries. Oh, that's from former McDonald's chief executive Ed Ramsey. So that's probably true. Robotic fry machine versus, some college kid.
One's cleverer than the other.
So here's the thing. You're going to start seeing a lot of people make the arguments for, what's the...
Universal income.
Thank you, that thing. Because you're going to have many people who are unemployable because of everything's automated.
Well, even right now, they actually did a random survey, I think it was in the UK, and something, I can't remember the percentage, but it was like 30% or something like that of respondents thought that their job was totally superfluous.
If it pays the bills, it's not superfluous.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, hey? Like, there's all these jobs out there that people are doing, like, right now that could easily be eliminated. And they're all going to fight tooth and nail to hide that fact. But it's going to be a transition nonetheless.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people out of work.
I still want to see somebody hack the robots and see the robots jump off the roof at Foxconn, because that would be the story. Robotic suicide at Foxconn.
I installed Windows 10!
All right. Wow. Next one up is from Torrent Freak. This week's episode of Family Guy included a clip of a 1980s Nintendo video game, Double Dribble, which showed a glitch to get a free three-point goal. Fox obtained the clip from YouTube, where it had been sitting since it was first uploaded in 2009. Shortly after, Fox told YouTube that the game footage infringed on its copyrights and had it do the DMCA takedown. So,
actually, it wasn't this week. It was last week's episode.
You are correct. This is from May the 20th. Yeah, so they went and got this YouTube clip, had Seth MacFarlane do voices over it for Family Guy, and then just took the original YouTube clip down as a copyright complaint. I mean, seriously, wow. You'd think somebody would have looked at the date on the thing and seen that it was bullshit.
Crazy part is I remember playing that game and knowing that glitch.
So apparently... Apparently he's gotten the video restored, and Fox said that, it was an accident. We didn't mean to do that. As soon as we became aware of the circumstances, the content was restored. Update 4, YouTube user Hansa informed Storm Freak that a clip he recorded of the game Timco Bowl was used in the same Family Guy episode, and it was also taken down and later restored. So, I mean, it's just sad that... It's just assumed copyright is owned by... only big companies can own media.
That's stupid.
So, and I mean, you talk about automation. This is everything automated, right?
And Family Guy really phoned it in this week's episode. It sucked.
I haven't been watching Family Guy for a long time.
I have a lot of hours to do, and you can't masturbate all day.
That's just a lack of effort on your part, sir.
It is. I'm a lazy person. I've installed Windows 10.
That's what the wife is for the other times.
She's lazier than I am. Yeah. All right. Last article I have up for tonight before we go into Dojo. From Business Insider. America's nukes are still controlled by 8-inch floppy disks.
That's comforting. At least they're not hackable.
America's nuclear arsenal is controlled by an ancient computer system that takes 8-inch floppy disks, according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. The title of the report on the government's information technology infrastructure, federal agencies need to address aging legacy systems, is what we classify as an understatement. Agencies reported using several systems that have components that are in some cases at least 50 years old. I'm amazed they have any 8-inch floppies that still work.
There's probably a company out there making money.
Yeah, but
they're making so much money because they're the only ones still making it. You know, it'd be like the old tape drives and stuff like that. It's probably only one or two companies still making it. They bought the patent when nobody else wanted it.
Yeah.
And now just charge governments ridiculous amounts of money for their old tech.
One of those very old systems is the Pentagon Strategic Automated Command and Control System, which coordinates U.S. nuclear forces like nuclear bombers and intercontinental ballistic missiles. As the report notes, it's running on an IBM Series 1, a mini computer that started out with 16K of RAM.
Wow.
Series 1! Which means they bought one of the first runs, and it's just, you know, they've never swapped the system out. There's probably so much procedure and shit tied to that. It's probably more expensive than they're making it out to be.
Only one man in there who's probably 60, 70 years old, still works there, who knows how to fucking work that machine.
Yep.
And so, once he dies or retires,
they will finally upgrade them.
Yep.
We actually knew these antique systems were still in use since 2014 when CBS aired a report on the day-to-day life of nuclear missile launch officers. At the time, Air Force told CBS using aging equipment was a good thing, since no modern-day hacker would ever be able to break into old equipment that's not connected to the internet. Well, that mindset's changing. The report notes that DoD plans to update data storage solutions, port expansion processors, portable terminals, and desktop terminals by the end of fiscal year 2017. So I think your 80-year-old dude who maintained the system must have retired.
Oh, could you see
they
it
can't
now?
Hack just, punch cards,
dude. We've just had reports that the Russians have launched their nuclear missiles.
Hello.
Would you like to install Windows 10?
Clippy comes up. Yeah, I see you trying to bomb Russia. Would you like Windows 10? The sad part is this means the cell phone in the hand of the high school tween who's taking selfies and, you know, posting YOLO on Facebook has more power than the entire nuclear arsenal.
Well, how long has it been since they've been more powerful than what we use to put people in space?
My watch has more power than what they use to put people on the moon.
I don't know. I used the Commodore 64 for a long time, so...
Did anyone ever hack it?
90s? Well, yeah, but that was because I let them. Well, I mean, you needed a serial cord to do it, so, you know, it's kind of... They're in the house, I mean... So... Alright, let's move on to this.
Hadouken! Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
All right. So what I have for Digital Dojo tonight is hilarious. Unfortunately, it does not involve using 8-inch floppy disks to control nuclear weapons. However, the number of PLC controllers on the thing is still staggering. The world of VNC.net, or, well, world of VNC.net. So welcome to the world of VNC. So what this guy did was on March the 31st, he scanned the entire internet for internet or for VNC servers and took screenshots of those that did not have passwords. And then documented 3,500-ish VNC servers.
That's a couple.
And now spot checking these, I found a few of my favorites. I especially enjoyed the a couple of the PLCs that you could connect to, and one that was a Windows CE touchscreen controller. No idea what it was hooked up to because I couldn't read that language. But yeah, it's amazing the number of screenshots that look like they're just people's desktops. And yeah. I assume, because it's been a month, a lot of these are not going to be live. So if you're going to try to use these as a way to find boxes to be an asshole on the internet with, most of these have probably been shut down, fixed, or hacked. So that's the other thing. If you go connect to one of these things, God knows what you're going to find now, right? Because they've been public for a month. So, you know, you might
want
stumble
herpes?
Upon...
Because that's how you get herpes.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're accepting the Windows 10 install for people. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what I just said?
Well, no, you said herpes, not gonorrhea. But
just of herpal age. Sorry. It's included in the SDK.
Yeah. Anyways, great fun browsing the screenshots. There's some really funny ones. I saw a lot of Minecraft servers on there. Especially enjoyed the one that was like, dude, your Minecraft server's open. I had the note on the desktop. I also enjoyed seeing the number of people attempting to run PowerShell commands in a password dialog, which means it, you know, an automated script. So on OpenVNC, tried to connect and just start throwing commands at it. A couple of crashing servers. Those were pretty funny.
I just found a colleague's computer.
Seriously?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. You should screw with them.
No, I have to actually log this accordingly on our site. God.
Which means it's going to get reported and the website's going to get shut down. Damn it, static.
Well, I mean, you don't have to. It's just, you know, morals or...
Well, just turn your head for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's either that or if you're the one that is going to have to fix it after you inevitably fuck it up, then it makes sense.
I won't have to fix it, but...
We were joking That's earlier, sad. How funny would it be to like see the broadcast box or something in there and be like, what? Damn it.
That really...
Damn it, Morps, you're better than this.
Well, considering VNC's not installed, I'd be pretty surprised. It's just like, there's Mix and TeamSpeak. What the fuck? Anyways. That's really all I got.
I do like how a lot of these, though, don't actually resolve anymore, though.
Well, I think, especially because you see a lot of them in like, Korea and Japan and India that just look like people's desktops. I imagine the IP address has changed in the intervening month, and either they don't know they've got VNC running or they figured it out and they put a password on it or turned it off. But I kind of wonder if you've got ISPs out there just setting up VNC is a way to do troubleshooting or something? Just the number of like there were screenshots of people playing like League of Legends going through there. So it's just kind of like, what the hell? Not to mention a number of point of sale systems and the, you know, servers and stuff you'd actually expect to see VNC on.
Those were kind of fun.
One that was like a it looked like an LCD screen from like an old PLC or you know, some kind of a microcontroller. So, great fun to explore. I wouldn't really use that trying to find live machines to break into. You might get lucky and find one or two that are still live. I wouldn't actually do anything from those because, well, one, you know, don't be a dick. But two, well, raw connection to VNC can be logged, so your IP address could show up in these things. So if you do something malicious or, you know, worse than malicious... Hello, officer. I was breaking into servers, and I just found something a lot worse than what I was doing, so I'm willing to let you.
That motherfucker installed Windows 10.
No, it'd be more like, this guy's still running Windows ME or Vista.
Found some running Windows XP.
Oh, there's lots of those. So, I don't know. You had to play with this too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a good starter.
Yeah, if you actually want to find VNC servers without passwords on it,
that's the win of that site.
Yeah, there are better ways to do it. I would I'd write your own script, or did this guy open source his script? I didn't even look. I'd write my own script and, you know, run it from some machine I didn't care about. But yeah, I don't see his script. I don't know that he open sourced it anywhere. Not that it's a particularly difficult script to write. So 3,567 servers that were unprotected. Most of them had login screens on it, though. So if you see an open BNC connection, the first thing it gets a login screen. That's not so bad. I suppose you could maybe if you could find a bug in a Windows login screen or a Linux login screen, that might do something for you. But I wouldn't be that concerned about just seeing a login sitting on BNC. But yeah, when you're seeing like PLC controllers and automation systems and somebody's desktop, it's like that's an issue. And I'm half tempted to say, if you're stupid enough to put up a VNC server on the internet without a password, you kind of deserve what you're going to get. Even if the worst of that is some asshole installing Windows 10 on your machine, which would be really confusing if you had like an Ubuntu box, you sit down and there's Windows 10.
I'm not even mad. I'm actually impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed and all my files are still there. What the fuck?
A sticky note. Hello, human.
That's all I've got. Anybody have anything before I play the closing sounds?
No, install Windows 10. No, sorry.